But Gerrard! Here's Rooney! Oh my goodness me! That is one of the strikes of the season! Absolutely brilliant! Fantastic!
Hello and welcome to another episode of FPL 360. Today we will continue our coverage of the World Cup with another World Cup in 20. Chuck, what group are we going to look at this afternoon?
Today we're going to be looking at Group D, which contains the likes of Argentina, Iceland, Croatia, and Nigeria.
However, before we get to the group preview, we do have an announcement to make. You may have seen it on Twitter, but we'll just go over it again. FPL 360 is hosting an official World Cup fantasy group over on the official FIFA platform. What are folks playing for?
You're playing for a mystery kit from Away Days Football. Away Days Football does kits and gear from random soccer clubs around the world, international or club level, and for the price of $25, you can get their mystery kit, which is just a random kit shipped out to you.
Yeah, so we will be providing, as we have been, the link on Twitter with the direct link to sign up, also the group code. But with that said, let's get down to business. The first team we're going to talk about is Argentina. After losing the 2014 World Cup final to Germany, they're going to be looking to get over the hump in Russia. At 9-1 odds to win the whole thing, are they a good bet?
Considering Argentina has lost in the finals of the last two major tournaments that they were in, the 2014 World Cup and the 2016 Copa America, I'm going to say no.
Well, looking to get them to the promised land is obviously going to be the one, the only Messi. And another very important player in Sergio Aguero. Out of those two, which guy do you think is going to be more important in their success?
I mean, it's always Messi, because Aguero is just expected to score, whereas Messi is expected to score, orchestrate the team, and assist in build-up play.
Yeah, and in terms of build-up play, one of the guys who could have played a key role will not be going to the tournament anymore. West Ham playmaker Manuel Lanzini ruptured his ACL in training the other day. He's been replaced by Enzo Perez, who is a traditional central midfielder who's going to offer a different option for Argentina. However, in losing Lanzini, is that a major blow to Argentina, or do you think it's something they'll be able to cope with?
It definitely lessens their flexibility, because Lanzini is one of the few wingers that was on the roster that can also play and produce centrally.
Yeah, and then in terms of options elsewhere, Argentina forever have been trying to figure out how to get the best out of Lionel Messi. They've used a bunch of formations. The one I've seen floated around and used recently is a 3-3-1-3. Now, what do we make of that?
I don't know. It's like an attempt to make up for the fact that they have super slow center backs, but they are good in the air. But the most important player is that one behind the three, because they're going to be tasked with distributing the ball everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, they do have experienced options in midfield. You have Ever Banega, then obviously Lucas Biglia, and those guys are going to both play a big role. However, the guy that I think is somewhat underrated in terms of value, not in terms of reputation, is going to be Angel Di Maria. Do you think this is going to be a showcasing of his talents, or do you think he might go missing?
PSG is definitely going to hope that there's going to be a showcasing of his talents, because he's probably going to be one of the players to get moved after the World Cup as they look to comply with financial fair play regulations.
Yeah, I mean, and then we obviously have to mention Gonzalo Higuain, you have Dybala, but I think before we move on, it's very important we talk about the defense. Is their defense the weakest part of this team, and do you think it will hold them back from competing with the elite talents in the knockout stage?
Oh yeah, and it's even worse considering the fact that they now have to line up in front of Caballero instead of Romero.
Yeah, in terms of teams that are going to be trying to exploit that, the first one we're going to talk about is Iceland. They are the smallest nation to ever qualify for the World Cup. However, they've developed quite a cult following after their exploits at Euro 2016. You know, they're an organized team. They play team football. They have a few creative individuals. Do you think it's fair to say that Iceland will live and die based upon the overall team effort, or it's going to come down to a guy like Gylfi Sigurdsson?
The team effort, but they also have a clinical striker in Finnbogason.
Yeah, now for those who are not aware of him, what is kind of the, you know, him in short?
Well, he was on fire in the Bundesliga this year, but had a few injury issues. At one point to begin the year, he was actually leading the Golden Boot race, and he's scored against almost everyone that he's played. The tough opposition, the weaker sides in the Bundesliga, and he's a pretty complete striker that can score with either foot or his head.
Yeah, I know he's going to be key, leading the charge up front. Going back to Sigurdsson, though, he had sort of a down year at Everton, then he got hurt. Do you think he returns to form in Russia?
I mean, he's already returned to form for Iceland in their friendly, scoring in his first appearance off the bench, so I can't expect anything less.
Yeah, now they have a bunch of rather unknown players in defense. However, they are set up to play, as I said, organized team-oriented football. The guy I want to mention is my favorite FPL player, possibly of all time, definitely of last season, and that is Johan Berg Gudmundsson. I think he's going to play as important of a role as Sigurdsson does. Do you think that's a fair assessment given his abilities from crossing the ball on the wing?
Oh, I definitely agree with that. One of the best things for Iceland is the fact that he developed into a playmaker in his own right for Burnley, because now they'll have someone on the other wing to take the pressure off of Gylfi.
Yeah, and then another thing to note about Iceland, looking at their team sheet, all of their players except one's last names end in son, so that's kind of a comical thing. But
that's more just how their names work in Iceland.
Yeah, kind of reinforces the team unity. Moving on to the next team looking to challenge Argentina in Group D, you have Croatia. And for all intents and purposes, they have quality and experience all over the place. Would you say Croatia is one of the more well-balanced teams headed to Russia?
Not really. I honestly don't like this Croatia team. I was pretty disappointed when I saw their final 23, because I just think that while their midfield is stellar, the defense and attack just aren't good enough.
Yeah, the defense is somewhat underwhelming. They do have a couple of veterans in Korluka. You have Lovren, who has been hit or miss since he joined Liverpool. But I guess we'll focus on the midfield. I mean, having the likes of Luka Modric, Ivan Rakitic, Ivan Perisic, those are three very quality players who provide different dimensions. Do you think, though, they're going to be the biggest keys, or is it going to be, you know, creating the most chances for Mandzukic?
Oh, it's easily them, because for Croatia to actually win games, they're going to need to be clinical on set pieces, which is likely going to be Rakitic's game.
Yeah, and then you also have a guy like Mateo Kovacic, who plays for Real Madrid. He's another rising star. I am excited to see what they do, because Croatia are always one of those teams that's pinned around mid-tier, and they haven't really been able to put it together completely. Are they shaping up for a run out of the group stage and potentially sneaking into the quarterfinals, or do you think it's going to be a disappointing result when everything's said and done?
I've got them on a run to the bottom of the group, so.
All right, I think that's a little bit harsh, but, you know, we don't have to agree on everything. That's not why we have a podcast. Moving on to the final team in the group, Nigeria. The Super Eagles have high hopes for Russia after making it to the round of 16 in 2000, 14. They are led by a veteran in Jean-Louis Mikel and Chelsea wingback Victor Moses. While neither of those guys are the go-to player at the domestic level, do you think they can carry this nation through the group?
Oh, yeah. They're going to be extremely important, especially with Moses likely playing as a winger and not a wingback, and Mikel partnering with Wilfred Ndidi to create a lockdown central midfield pairing.
Yeah, Wilfred Ndidi's kind of, in terms of value right now, I know he's in the top 100 for most expensive players in the world. He's kind of a combination of Matuidi and N'Golo Kanté, given his size and what he kind of provides. And while he is a strength, the overall, I'd say, defining attribute of this team is definitely pace. How do you think that's going to factor in into their tactical approach?
Well, luckily, Ndidi already plays on a team like that with Leicester City. They are going to hit you on the counter hard with long balls from their central central midfielders after they win a tackle. And you better be prepared or they're going to score some goals.
Yeah, looking at the rest of this team sheet, you have two guys in Alex Iwobi and Kelechi Iheanacho. Do you think that's enough attacking quality in combination with Victor Moses for them to score enough goals to keep up with the competition? Or do you think with Iheanacho coming off an up-and-down season and Iwobi being in and out of Arsenal's starting 11 that they might not have what it takes to get it done on the international stage?
Well, Iwobi's usually better for Nigeria than he is for Arsenal. So I'm actually pinning this as World Cup as being a coming out party for it.
Yeah, I mean, and then the biggest question mark with them is they have a veteran but somewhat unknown defense. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do. Would you say Nigeria are a sleeper for the World Cup? Are you excited to watch them, or do you think the hype around them has more to do with them having cool jerseys?
I'm super excited to watch them. Obviously, the jerseys have helped the hype around them, but I think it's legit.
All right. Having kind of touched on each of the teams, we're going to get down to the meat of this episode, which is the group summary. Chuck, who do you have advancing?
I have Argentina going in first, and then I have them being followed by Nigeria, who are closely going to edge out Iceland by 1 point.
Okay, I also have Argentina going through as the top dogs. I have Iceland second, Nigeria and Croatia both even right behind them. So
you didn't say which one's in last.
I'm probably going to say Nigeria, and that's only because I think Croatia will be able to score a couple goals when they play them, given their ability to really knock the ball and stuff and catch Nigeria out when they press forward. In terms of specific predictions, I guess we'll start with who do you think is going to be the standout player from this group?
Well, I just said that this is going to be Iwobi's coming out party, so I think I'm forced to go with Iwobi there.
Yeah, I'm going to go with, it's not really a surprise, but I'm going to go with Gylfi Sigurdsson because everything's going to run through him on Arsenal. On Iceland.
That's not even the club team he plays for.
Yeah, right. I don't even know why I said that. Everything's going to run through him, and I do think Gudmundsson's going to also have a very good tournament, but just the role that he plays for Iceland, and they're so disciplined, they don't make any mistakes. I think Sigurdsson's going to be, he's probably going to get 2 goals and 2 or 3 assists. Well, so that's my tip there.
You're leading right into my super specific prediction, and I have both Gylfi and Rakitic hitting free kicks in this group.
I like that. My specific prediction is going to be Gudmundsson is going to get 2 assists off crosses from the wing.
Okay, that's not super specific, but okay. I'll let you have it.
From the wing. So that's going to be
he's going to play on the wing.
Yeah, but I mean he picked up a lot of assists cutting inside playing for Burnley this season and laying the ball off and crossing. I'm talking like out and out wide midfielder across from the wing, just picks it up and puts it in the box. And then I guess in terms of players to watch from a transfer perspective, Do you think there's anyone from this group that could emerge with a good performance and be on the move this summer, whether high profile or lesser known?
Well, I already tipped my hand there, too, with Di Maria.
Yeah, so there's that. I'm going to go with, I don't know if he's going to move, but I think Leicester are going to get a couple of massive bids from Wilfred Ndidi. He's kind of emerged as a
player. I feel like they already have.
Or at least ones that are well publicized enough where we'll be reading about it at RotoWorld and at other websites.
Fair.
All right, that's going to do it for Group D. Remember to go on Twitter and join the FPL 360 World Cup Fantasy Group, the official one, for a chance to win an away days mystery kit.
And our Twitter handle is FPL_360.